It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Tonight we'll keep you informed on anything that's happening with the protests on the south side. They just took over the expressway at 55th and the Dan Ryan. But as Kathy Cheney said, they are, looks like they might be wrapping up in front of the police station, 61st Street. We'll keep you updated on that. We'll also keep you updated on the strange freak accident that somebody fell out of the bleachers onto the field during the rain delay. Rob Martier will be all over that. So we will have another news update coming up at the top of the hour. Well, a new state senator is representing the northwest side of Chicago. Omar Aquino actually won his Democratic primary and was appointed early to replace the retiring Senator Willie Delgado. But he missed the big vote. He came in just after that. Aquino represents the 2nd Senate District of Illinois, and he's now the youngest Latino to serve in the state Senate. He's 29 years old, and he's my guest tonight. Senator Aquino, thanks for being here.
Justin, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You were appointed right after the big vote, the stopgap budget gap, or the vote there. Do you wish you were there for that, or is it good to start fresh?
I'll say I'm not afraid to sort of take any votes. So I missed it because the senator that I replaced, Senator Delgado, had for some time been contemplating when to step down. And so he earlier in the month had decided, you know what, at the end of this month's going to be my time. His wife had retired a month earlier. And so it just ended up happening to be that the stopgap was sort of negotiated and pushed forward within even days prior. Like,
right,
there's a lot of people going down there thinking, nothing's going to happen. And then you heard like a day or two before that leadership was having these meetings with the governor and things were going well. And so, I'm glad that there was a stopgap that was passed. It's not anything that it's, you know, there's no claim to victory here. There's still a lot of issues. It's just a 6-month thing. So it's not a full budget. We right. still need to work towards that. And so that's what I'm looking forward to be able to do come November. I'm glad that I have a little bit of some, I get in there a little bit earlier to kind of get a lay of the land
right.
and get, you know, start getting, get to work.
Now, okay, so the way it works, I mean, you won your Democratic primary, and in the city of Chicago, that ultimately means you're going to win the general election because there's usually not a Republican challenger, Democrat. And you're already in being appointed. So you kind of have a lay of the land a little bit already understanding as you were gearing up for, you know, taking over in November. What are the things that you wanted to bring to Springfield as a rep in the second or the state senator in the second Senate district?
Well, I mean, I'm what I look at this job as is I have a lot of bosses. Every single person in the Senate, second Senate district, either they vote or they don't vote. They're a stakeholder. They're my boss. So I'm accountable to them. Right. So what I want to do is make sure that I'm working for them. I'm working as hard as I can because the second Senate district is filled with working class families, people that work very hard to earn what the little that they have. I want to make sure that we're working to have a great public education system, not only in the city, but in the state. And so I'm a big supporter of the elective school board bill. Right now, as much as I have a lot of respect for Senator Kwame Raoul, he said earlier this year that during the summer there was going to be outreach and community meetings and forums. I'm looking to hear when those meetings are because I'm excited to go attend them. But, you know, those are things that I want to make sure that, hey, if we get it done this year, it'd be great to vote on it. I'd be excited to. If not, then I'm going to be bringing up some of those issues with some of my colleagues.
I like it. Going right at him. Going right at Raul. I'll take that.
No. I got a lot of love for Kwame.
He's a guest on our show. I like it.
He's a good guy. No, I'm just saying, like, he made a comment and public comment that there's going to be some public hearings. And I know the people in my district certainly want that. I know the people in the city of Chicago absolutely want it. There's a referendum that I think is over 80% of the people in the city that were able to vote on it said, hey, we want to have an elective school board. And it's so ridiculous that in this state, we're the only school district that does not have an elective school board. What is the problem? Like, why is it so hard that we can have more transparency in especially the Chicago public school system? I mean, their previous CEO, Triple B, is going to prison sometime soon. I mean, it's there's oversight and more transparency is definitely needed in that school district.
As I mentioned, I mean, you are the youngest Latino to serve in the state Senate. You're 29 years old, so that puts you in the millennial category. Yep. When I talk about millennials getting into politics, it's usually surrounded by a study that says they're not. You know, I mean, you get a lot of, and I wanted to just sort of get your background. What drew you to public service?
Yeah. So, I mean, I dedicated my life to the public sector. I, you know, when I got out of college, both my parents, they've had jobs in the public sector. They were union people. They had worked in the private sector for many years, but once, you know, my mother was a teacher's assistant in the Chicago public school system. My father was a truck driver that ended up working his way up through the ranks in the Department of Streets and Sanitation. So I saw what, you know, what collective bargaining can actually do to actually give people the ability to live the American dream. And so I want to make sure, especially now, that we have that, that, you know, right now we have a governor that says, hey, we need to take away people's collective bargaining rights and you know, have a...
Is that why you got into politics, though? Because you knew, like, in the future, Governor Rauner would be trying to take away collective bargaining rights?
No. I was always had a sense of wanting to sort of give back to my community and work for my community. And so I started working as a case manager for a Department of Aging. Why I got into public policy was because of I saw a lot of what the cuts were happening even back then when Governor Quinn was in. They would send memo week to week saying, hey, we're going to make these changes. And I'd say, I would read the memo and say, there's no way we can implement this because it goes against everything we're trying to do to support these seniors. And so like a week later, they'd say, oh, disregard. We realize we can't actually implement that, but, you know, wait for the next memo. And so I finally got sick and tired and said, you know what? I don't necessarily want to be a policymaker, but I want to be in that room when they're making decisions to say, hey, there's some perspectives you should probably take and know that these numbers and whatnot, they actually are impacting people's lives, people's families and communities.
Yeah, I mean, that's I guess, the American way. I mean, to be able to be in a position where you see what the government's changes are doing or what policies are that are being crafted in the state house are affecting people on the ground, to be in that position where you're with the people that are affected on the ground, that ultimately should make you a better lawmaker.
Yeah, I'm going to be taking the experience that I have from my work in the public sector. I mean, after that, I went to work as a legislative aide in the House of Representatives in Illinois. So I saw sort of, as they say, how the sausage was made, and I was a little disgusted by it. So it was one of those things. It's I either was going to get out of politics and say it's not for me, or the opposite, which what happened to me, and said, you know what, I think I can do better. And I'm gonna take a bet on myself, and I'm gonna bet on my community, and take a leap of faith and say, hey, I have some ideas, I have this energy, I've seen how things are done, I want to do it differently, and I want to represent you. And so I did that, and you know, now I sit here as the state senator of the 2nd district because the people in the district said, hey, you're our guy, and we want you to represent us down in Springfield.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about that sausage and how it's made. I mean, you're gonna. I mean, there's one thing to be wide eyed and say, "All right, I'm going to change the world, and I'm going to do things for the people on the ground." There's another to play politics in Springfield, which obviously is a longstanding game, the best game in town. State Senator Omar Aquino's in studio with us. He represents the 2nd Senate District. He was just appointed to replace the retiring Senator Willie Delgado. He's the youngest Latino to serve in the state Senate. He's 29 years old. We'll continue our conversation here. Stay with us. We're getting to know new state Senator Omar Aquino. He was appointed earlier this, I guess it was at the end of last month, June, right at the end of June, beginning of July here. He replaced the retiring Senator Willie Delgado in the northwest side of Chicago. Democrat, represents 2nd Senate District of Illinois. He's now the youngest Latino to serve in the state Senate. He's 29 years old, which technically makes you a millennial. Congrats.
Thank you.
All right, so let's talk about, I kind of, you know, joked about the sausage being made. You mentioned it. But one of the things about Springfield right now is there's a lot of frustration among not just the voters, but lawmakers, that there are only a certain number of people that are involved in the process, whether it be the governor and the two leaders of the House and the Senate, Senator Cullerton, Representative Madigan, Speaker of the House Mike Madigan. For you as a guy coming in, and you already told us you're coming in because you want to make a difference, you saw what the policies in Springfield were doing to the people in your community, how can you make a difference when it feels like there's only three people making the deals?
Sure. I mean, I think the one thing you can take, or there's several things you can take from the stopgap, but I think one of the things was that it came from pressure from members that were not in leadership. And that came because of the pressure from the people in their district. I mean, I had a lot of colleagues and even myself when I went to knock on doors after, you know, I was the Democratic primary nominee. I wasn't the senator yet. And there was people saying, oh, you know, you guys are the problem, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whoa, whoa, I'm not in there just yet. And I know that for my colleagues, they've had a lot of people that they've knocked on doors as well that said, like, they're just frustrated with, you know, with the lack of action in Springfield. And so that got a lot of those that weren't in leadership to say, hey, if it's not going to be the leadership, you know, taking responsibility and the governor, then let's come together with these different working groups and try to push something forward. So I think that leverage into getting sort of the, you know, the stopgap actually passed. You know, the thing is that, yes, my district is very Democratic and the city of Chicago is, but our state is a mixture of a lot of different types of peoples, a lot of different type of districts. And so we need both bicameral, bipartisan, support on things. You know, we have to come together to push our state forward. And right now, unfortunately, we have a governor who doesn't want to do that. He tries to pick apart different sections of the state. I mean, one of the first things he said when talking about the legislation that Andy Menar is trying to push for changing school
right,
funding
the formula, right.
He said any more money that goes to CPS would be a bailout for Chicago and Chicago public schools. And so he went to like central and southern Illinois, basically bashing Chicago as if Chicago is not in Illinois and he doesn't represent the people of Chicago. And so that's not what we need. That's not leadership. True leadership is coming together, even with some people that maybe represent people that are very different from your own, you know, district, but coming together and say, hey, the only way we can move this entire state forward and we all come out ahead is coming together and working together.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, to work together, and that should be what we're doing down in Springfield, but a lot of times it's not. For you as a young guy coming in to be a state senator, you know, are you prepared to compromise? Are you prepared to let go of some of the things that maybe you ran on in the Northwest side in the second? If there's a deal to be made to make a budget work and maybe it pushes a little bit more to the center or more to the right, some of the social issues that you ran on in the second, is that something you're willing to do?
Well, I'll say this. I'm willing to listen and to hear what is being proposed. But, you know, I'm not going to vote against my constituency. I'm not going to vote against my district nor my principals. You know, there are certain things that are things that I would never vote against. And for instance, for me, the turnaround agenda, the austerity agenda that Governor Rauner has, that's not negotiable for me. I'm not a supporter of basically anything in there. But I mean, there's certain portions. I would say this. The only thing that I would come to maybe have a discussion of is with the maps of how mm-hmm. they're created. I think independent maps are something to be discussed. But coming from a Latino majority district and, you know, now being one of four Latino senators, there's not that much representation based on the percentage of, you know, not only Latinos, but, you know, African-Americans, other minority groups as well. I mean, next year we're going to celebrate the 100th General Assembly. And for the first time, we're going to have a member in the General Assembly that's Asian. That's Teresa Ma. So it's, you know, there's still a lot of concerns, even with, you know, something like that. Like, people like to say, like, oh, we need independent maps. Sure. But we need to also make sure that we have coverage and we have that our representation reflects our state.
It's interesting. You know, you mentioned the Latino bloc that's being formed in Springfield. I think of the northwest side of Chicago. I think Representative Guzzardi, who's been on this program. Yeah. I also think of Alderman Ramirez Rosa, who's the alderman, the new alderman over on the northwest side. There seems to be a young Latino movement coming out of Chicago. It's based in progressive politics, and we see it. Do you see that? I mean, do you see you and the people that I mentioned getting together and trying to change politics for the better for a younger Latino voter?
Absolutely. What I would say this, that both of those gentlemen are good friends of mine. Will, Carlos, and myself, I think one of the things that we also have in common is actually Senator Delgado. Senator Delgado had supported us in each of our races. I ran for alderman initially, and then I ended up running for state senate. He didn't support me then, but he did support me for state senate. But he saw something in us and said, hey, we need to change our politics in Chicago and on the Northwest side, and we need new ideas and a fresh perspective. And you said this earlier, Justin, that, you know, not a lot of young people are part of politics. And, you know, I think that, you know, Carlos, myself, and Will embody a new movement of saying, hey, you can actually make a difference in your community. Just get out there. You know, there's a lot of things to be upset about, but use that frustration as fuel to help others in your community to represent
well. Well, I mean, it's fascinating. We could do a whole hour on Northwest side politics. Yeah, I mean, sure. Commissioner Berrios for years, he's the head of the party. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's been the guy who has run. And it's interesting because a lot of you guys are coming up. And in your case, you had support of Joe Berrios, which Will Guzzardi not, you know, yeah. In a different place. But talk about the old guard and what the Northwest side of Chicago used to be and what it is now.
So I would say that, you know, one of the things that I think inspired some people that were on different sides of the fence before, especially on the Democratic side, has been our governor. We have this governor we've had Republican governors before, but Governor Rauner is a special type of governor. I mean, when you go in there and basically say, I am not going to sign a budget for 2 years unless this part of this turnaround agenda is put forth, I mean, everyone's starting to suffer. And we've seen this in the Northwest side. You know, in the second district, these cuts aren't theoretical. I mean, these are personal. People have seen the impact for either MAP grants, cuts to services, so forth. So I think what you see is that, you know, in my race, you know, I did have the support of Chairman Berrios. I've also had the support of some pretty progressive people like Commissioner Chuy Garcia and others. And so, but part of that was because Governor Rauner actually tried to play a role in my race. He was supporting my opponent through his Illinois Go Pack that got so millions of dollars. They spent so much money in our race that they blew the caps. And so my opponent was able to get from certain, you know, wealthy families, you know, tens of thousands of dollars just from a couple families here and there. So I think that, you know, when you have sort of a common foe in the governor, you get some pretty interesting allies.
Yeah. Let me ask you this as we wrap up here. I'm interested because in the last week we've seen a lot of changes in Chicago, one of which the property tax bill, which a lot of people on the Northwest side of Chicago probably got some sticker shock on what was happening to their property tax bill. We've obviously the stopgap budget just happened, but it's only a stopgap. For the Northwest side of Chicago, for the second district, I mean, are people are they frustrated with government? Are they looking for change? There's a hope and optimism from your vantage point as a brand new state senator. What are people thinking about in Chicago?
I mean, people are pretty frustrated, absolutely. And there's hardly, I don't know if I can make an argument of why not to be frustrated. What I tell them is I like them, am very frustrated. That's why I decided to run. One of the things is about, you know, especially when your property taxes are going up and so forth, it's just, we have to take a look at how we generate revenue in this state. And it's just so regressive. It's not equitable. We need to find ways that we level the playing field, that we make sure that Governor Rauner and his wealthy friends and corporations are paying their fair share. Is that so hard to ask? It's just saying that, you know, if you are a part of this state, either you do business, you live here, you just pay your fair share. And so there has been some proposals for legislation. Unfortunately, they have mm-hmm. died. The millionaire tax, yeah. Progressive income tax. But those are things that I'm hoping that, you know, with Will Guzzardi and with others, that we can continue to bring up, because, you know, legislation, these things, these bills, it takes sometimes some sessions to actually get through. But I'm optimistic that we can get that done. I know that for the progressive income tax, we have to change our constitution. But people are willing to do these things because, you know, look, I don't think anyone in the second district, you can be in the second, you can be down south somewhere in southern Illinois. No one wants to pay more taxes. Yeah. All right. No one wants to pay more taxes. I sure don't want to either. But the thing is that in the situation that we're in, we need revenue. And so my thing is, like, yes, we need revenue, but who are we asking to pay up? You know, who is right now in our state? We're asking those that cannot afford to pay more. We're putting the burden on them. And so what I'm saying is, let's flip that. let's just make it equitable. Those that can't afford should pay more, and that's it. So
State Senator Omar Aquino, he is the new representative of the 2nd Senate District of Illinois. He's the youngest Latino to serve in the state Senate. He's 29 years old. We look forward to hearing more from you, Senator Aquino. Thanks for being my guest tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Justin.